Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast in our front nine, I am recording on location inside the PGA of America headquarters, taking you inside the property for a very special trip to cover the PGA Professional National Championship. It's also our first in our Visit Frisco podcast series, covering everything that is great about Sports City USA. We've got a whole bunch of other golf headlines as well, too. And our guest this week is Josh Dill from Visit Frisco. There's a whole lot going on beyond this beautiful Frisco PGA facility. And we take you on a full audio tour. Plus, we're talking NBA, NHL, NFL draft, and always end with food. Talking tacos and Mike's Atlanta trip. All of it brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. And Mike just got the word from the team at Desert Fox Golf that it is all about getting the word out on this new DJ10 speaker. It's officially their newest product in the line, and it is a revolutionary speaker, Mike, because it takes all of those lovable, older, you know, kind of legacy features of speakers that you and I love. Like, remember the push and turn for the volume knob? We played around with that at the PGA show, and that is a really cool part of the Desert Fox DJ10 speaker that makes it the best speaker for your golf cart and the best golf accessory for music fans out there, or anyone who just wants to keep tabs with whatever's going on their phone in a nice audio projection. It's the DJ10 speaker by Desert Fox Golf. Our promo code is Course of Life. If you want to save a little moolah and get a nice little discount on your next DJ10 speaker, you could buy the speaker for a Mother's Day or Father's Day gift coming up, or just for yourself or any golfer in your life. So again, promo code Course of Life, the DJ10 speaker at DesertFoxGolf.com.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, I just rolled back into my town of Savannah after being in Atlanta for a few days. We'll talk about what I did up in the massive city of Atlanta. It just shocks me how big it really is every time I'm there. But you're also not in your home, though, of Austin right now. You're in Frisco, Texas, which is like six trips of me to getting to Atlanta. It's what, like 12 hours or something to get across Texas for you? Something like that. It's a huge state.
Everyone loves making that joke. But yes, it was a firm 3.5 to 4 hours to get up from Austin to north of Dallas. And yeah, I'm in a very unique on-location recording inside. That's right. Maybe you hear the echo. I am inside the PGA of America headquarters. I don't know why they let me in here, but they're very friendly to me lately. And I am just feet away from some of the biggest and most important voices in the game of golf. Mike, how does that make you feel?
That makes me feel insignificant, as always. But I have to ask, are they making you say anything against your will? If they are, tap the microphone two times.
I will. Yeah, I'll just let you know they're not. And I'm not being held up or anything like that. There's nobody behind me with a script and barking orders right now. Okay. I can tell you that they're letting me speak my mind here out at this wonderful facility. And what a facility it is, Mike. I know you and I had shared some pictures, photo and video, and talked with the Visit Frisco team about this Omni Frisco PGA facility. It's about a year in the making now, but I can't undersell enough how much of a golf mecca heaven it is. 45 hole, 2 acre, 65,000 foot putting course for anyone to play for free. Unbelievable pitch and putt, 36 hole facility, shopping district, bars, restaurants, simulators, a top golf lounge, a teaching center. It's absolutely everything that a golfer or golf travel enthusiast would love to see.
Did you die and go to golf heaven? Because that's kind of what it sounds
like. I did. I had a few pinch myself moments. So here already, I did get to play the swing, which is the 10 hole pitch and putt course. Little kind of nice drink cart halfway out there too. You can take a beer from the Ice House bar next door and bring it out with you. It's a really cool experience, and it's an absolutely mint condition. I'm having a field day hitting putts from every single angle on this massive dance floor style putting green. I know cannot be put into words.
I know you like to find the oddest, most difficult putt on a practice green. That one that is going to do a 120 degree angle change when it drops off the slope or something. Have you found that putt yet on this practice green?
Yeah, there's a couple putts where you can hit it uphill and then it goes downhill, and then it can go uphill past the hole, and then it can roll back downhill towards the hole. There's all sorts of roller coasters here. And yes, Mike, I know you're wondering. I started at one end and I putted all the way to the other, the furthest flag. And this is going to be a video and a YouTube short that is going to be on our YouTube channel very soon, where you'll see how many putts it took me to get there.
The length of this practice green is longer than the green we played at the European Club, the longest single green on a golf course.
Which is 127 yards for reference.
Yeah. So this practice green is bigger than that.
You can imagine I'm like a kid in a candy store all week here. And literally just feet away is the first and 10th tees for the PGA Professional National Championship. So we're covering 300 of the best club pros in the country vying for 20 spots in the PGA Championship. That's right, the PGA Championship. The best 20 club pros in the country here get to play in that prestigious major championship. Some of our past guests I've already seen: Chris French, JJ Killeen, a couple others, Ben Kerr here, Kern here as well. So there's a lot to be determined. Final round's going to be Wednesday on the Golf Channel for our audience listening right now. So a Wednesday finish to see which club pros do get that valuable ticket to Valhalla.
And your time there in Frisco, you're staying at the Westin Stonebriar, correct?
Yes.
And they, you know, it's a Westin. It's a nice, Westins are very nice hotels, but they have a particularly unique suite there.
They do. This Topgolf swing suite that I got to hit on and play all sorts of games. It's not even a golf swing suite beyond that, beyond hundreds of courses and practice games that you can play as a golfer. You can play dodgeball in there, baseball, hockey. Mike, I threw the first curveball I've thrown in about a decade this morning when I was on the Topgolf swing suite trying to play the baseball game there. So fun for all here at the Westin Stonebriar, which is where I'm staying, and thanking them again for being the host for the trip. It's been an awesome launching point in Frisco. Everything very local. You can get really to everything in Frisco within 15 or 20 minutes. So it's made for a very fun trip. Again, follow along on social, on Instagram at COL Podcast and Course of Life Alex for all the Visit Frisco contact coming the rest of the week as well.
And while you're there, this is really being helped and supported by our friends at Visit Frisco. I lived in Denton, not that far from Frisco, and got to experience some of what Frisco had to offer during the 9 months I spent in Texas. And it is a really nice part of the DFW area. A lot of newness there, like the PGA headquarters and the Westin Stonebriar and everything else going on there. And you also got to talk to Josh Dill from Visit Frisco.
Absolutely. Yeah. He was a great contact from the team that helped us plan everything and get and set out the ultimate itinerary along with Kelly and the team there. So we really appreciate them. And he gave us a little bit more content and context for why Frisco is referred to as Sports City, USA. All right, welcome back. As part of our Course of Life trip covering the PGA Professional National Championship, we're here in Frisco, Texas. We're at the Westin Stonebriar. We're going to tell you a little bit about what's in the background in a little bit, but we're joined by my buddy Josh Dill from the Visit Frisco team. How you doing, Josh?
Doing good, man. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. It's great to have you here. So tell everyone a little bit about your background and how you got to be with the Frisco team as well.
Yeah, so I mean, I started off, I wanted to work in sports. I got a PR degree from Texas Tech and really was always passionate about sports. Started off working in minor league sports, but I had a buddy that said, hey, why don't you come do sports tourism? And I had no idea what it was, didn't know it existed.
Yeah.
So I started a little over 15 years ago working at another CVB, moved to Fort Worth, started what's now the Fort Worth Sports Commission. And then about 7.5 years ago, got the opportunity to come to a city like Frisco, which I just thought got sports, understood sports. Sports is kind of woven into the fabric of everything we do here. And I couldn't pass that up. And I've been really happy to be here ever since.
Very cool. So yeah, you have a good knowledge of the area, but contextualize it for our audience who doesn't know too much about the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It's a metroplex, and that there's two gigantic markets that all converge with lots of other sub-communities around and in between. Explain how Frisco plays a part in all that.
Sure. You know, we have our big cities, Dallas and Fort Worth, obviously, you know, both top. You know, Dallas is a top five city, I think, and Fort Worth is definitely a top 15 city in the U.S. Yeah. From population size. Then Arlington's kind of nestled in between there, just south of DFW Airport, which is one of the busiest airports in the world. And that's where people realize that, you know, the Cowboys play, the Rangers play down in Arlington. We are north, straight north, Frisco is, of Dallas, about 20 minutes north of Love Field Airport, which is more centrally or in Dallas, right?
Right.
And we just we became Sports City USA. A lot of we joke that a lot of the
I
teams,
love that moniker.
We do too. We kind of came up with it when I started over here. My buddy kind of thought of that, and I thought, man, that's an aggressive tagline, but it's really come true, and I feel like we live it every day. But a lot of the teams, like the Dallas Stars, FC Dallas, had already kind of put down roots up here. Whether they put their headquarters or a practice facility or like FC Dallas playing up here. And so it's just kind of become all things sports. We have this sports ecosystem just north of Dallas. So we benefit from being part of the Dallas Metroplex, but we are a city in our own right, just to the north.
Yeah, I love the way you guys are playing into that sports city theme. And it's true, it's ubiquitous. I wanted to run through some of the different sports that are going on here in Frisco, because people would kind of assume that there isn't as much going on here as there really is from a sports perspective. And you got on my radar because of the Frisco Bowl. Talk to me about the college football presence here, not only from the bowl games to postseason play as well, too, and how that comes through here each year.
Sure. You know, having a partner with the Hunt family, with Lamar Hunt coming out here and putting the soccer team here. We built Toyota Stadium, but he was such a huge college football fan. I mean, he loved the bowl system. Yeah. And he kind of challenged both of his sons to continue to make college football happen in this stadium. And so, you know, several years ago, whenever the Miami Beach Bowl was looking for a new home, you know, it kind of came up. ESPN Events said, what if we put it in Frisco? And so got to work on that project with the FC Dallas team. But we've had a bowl game here ever since. And then we continue that with the FCS championship every year, hosting all the teams that don't play in the bowl games. We host their national championship. So college football still plays a major role in what we do.
Yeah, for sure. And college football fans will know that name now. They're like, oh yeah, Frisco Bowl gets bowl season going. And it's really cool to see you guys have that presence from a football perspective. The other football that I know a lot of people will want to talk about is, as we know it, soccer here, sure, which has a huge presence, not only with FC Dallas, but tell me about how Frisco is playing into the World Cup picture as well, too, as it pertains to international soccer.
Sure. I will say this DFW Metroplex that we're a part of, we really are really tight. We all work really well together as cities. You know, I call it coopetition.
I was wondering how much rivalry there was between you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's events that I go, I really want to host all of that, but if I can't host it, I definitely want somebody nearby to host it.
Yeah.
So that's where I call it that coopetition. But there's the four big cities that host a lot of events are really Dallas, Fort Worth, Arlington, and Frisco. And so we're kind of that nucleus of what makes up our local organizing team, especially for the World Cup. But it's going to affect, you know, the entire region all the way down well south of what we call the Metroplex,
yeah,
down to Waco, some of those areas. We think it's going to create that kind of compression. But yeah, we will more than likely be a base camp for an international delegation leading up to the World Cup. So possibly two. There's also rumors or we're talking about possibly hosting referees for training. So it's really cool because it'll really put us on an international scale, and we'll get to welcome some international people and create awareness around Frisco for them.
Very cool. We'll get into a little bit more soccer in a little bit. I got a bone to pick with you as the FC Dallas community here. So we'll get into that, but I am excited to see what you guys do for the international audience. You mentioned other sports as well too, and the Cowboys presence. Explain what goes on at the Star. I don't think a lot of people realize what's headquartered specifically at the Star here in Frisco.
I mean, we know it, we live it and breathe it every day, but I realized we hosted a major event recently, and it was a football event. We hosted the East-West Shrine Bowl, and I was talking to one of the players, and I said, you know, well, the Cowboys locker room is right there. And he goes, wait, what? And
yeah.
I was like, you know that this is where the Cowboys, like,
yeah, practice. But I can't see the stadium though.
Yeah, and they're like, no, I just think of AT&T Stadium. But no, the world headquarters of the Dallas Cowboys is here in Frisco. So the business operations tend to be here, but the Cowboys practice here. A lot of the Cowboys live up in this area, go down to the stadium for the game. And so, you know, it's great to have the number one sports franchise in the world, the most valuable, with all their bylines coming out of Frisco, Texas.
Very cool. Yeah. And I've got some videos coming to our channel as well too, showcasing Frisco and specifically visiting the Star. So I'm excited to check that out. Let's talk a little bit about golf because that's the main reason why I'm here. You got the shirt on as well, supporting PGA Frisco. Now, when I first set foot on this property, I'd seen photos, I'd seen videos. I can tell you for sure, Josh, don't ever undersell the PGA Frisco property. Explain what's gotten done there and is now open here in the last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long story. There's a lot of great articles that's been written about it, but you know, it started with a really kind of small vision of saying, you know, we want to bring golf to North Texas children, right? We want to make it more accessible. And so the Northern Texas PGA was looking at moving out here, creating a small golf park and trying to just do something really innovative. Okay. And it grew from that into, well, what if we relocated the entire PGA of America here? And, you know, it really, you know, there was gas thrown on that fire as soon as the Omni got involved. You know, that capital group invested so much into this that now we have a golf themed resort, you know, 500 rooms, a really just amazing venue out there. And then we have 46 holes of golf. People always say it's 45 holes. It's not. There's a 10 hole short course. And everyone just thinks everything has to be done nines. But and then we have, you know, the largest putting surface in the U.S. And it's really just this mecca for the golf fan. It's fun. It's accessible. And it just, you feel immersed in the sport of golf. And that's similar to what we did with the Cowboys. It's like, how do we grow the sport? Instead of just going, we want to plop down a venue, how do we grow a sport here in Sports City, USA? And I think we've gotten a pretty good start on that with golf here.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of new golf concepts that are trying to introduce lots of non-golfers to the game, but I can tell that it was very thoughtfully laid out and designed. The way the dance floor putting green is centered around a district of businesses that offer everything for different members of the family, depending on how old you are or what you're looking for. Explain the idea of growing the game of golf as it pertains to that facility in Frisco specifically.
Sure. I mean, I think that, you know, the goal was always to lower the barrier of entry. And, you know, you think about just as a husband or a dad who wants to golf, sometimes that barrier of getting out there is the family. Like,
you don't always have 5 free hours on your hands. Yeah.
You know, my wife probably doesn't appreciate that. So it's like, what can we do out there that would make it to where they would want to be a part of it as well? Yeah. So it's not just, hey, I'm giving you to golf for the day. It's we're all going to golf for the day. And I think that the shops that are out there are, you know, unique and intriguing. They make you want to be out there, but the dance floor is accessible to young kids wanting to learn the game and just maybe those people who are like, I watch golf on TV. Maybe my husband's a big golfer, my partner's a big golfer, but I don't know what a club feels like in my hands. You can do that out there.
Yeah, this putting green, I cannot put into words just how big it is. I'll be posting some video of it for sure. But just for reference, I was out there the other day, you know, filming putts on video. I saw a guy's trip playing a foursome throughout the course. I saw a couple of 3-year-old girls and their mom maybe hitting the first putts of their life for all we know. Sure. So it really does bring out a ubiquitous audience.
Absolutely. You know, you'll have, you know, kids doing cartwheels around the edge, but you know, again, golf is in their consciousness, which I think is good for the game.
Yeah, very cool. Where I'm staying right here to celebrate all things that are great in Frisco and golf and the PGA Professional National Championship is here at the Westin Stonebriar, literally a Topgolf swing suite built into the property. I can tell that this is another great example of how much you guys really love golf here in Frisco because you're really catering my needs right now.
Absolutely. We, you know, again, we try to weave sports into everything that we do. So it's, you know, again, putting this here. I mean, we host the bowl games. You know, a lot of the teams will stay here. This is a great activity for guys to come in here and, definitely, you know, especially the guys who the coaches aren't afraid of, you know, messing up their back or something before the game. But there's a lot of different groups that can enjoy this suite. And that's kind of the goal, is to kind of be a master plan community that we inject sports in every place we can see.
Very cool. Yeah. Again, it's the Westin Stonebriar here. I'm going to post a separate video of my time playing around on this simulator. So be sure to check that out as well. Josh Dill here with the Visit Frisco team. Let's just talk about some fun debate points for Frisco. Let's get into some musts for you locally in town. If you're in Frisco and you want to go to a bar to feel like a local here, where would you suggest maybe go?
Ooh, that's tough. I mean, so we have, Concrete Cowboy that's there in the Star District is kind of our big nightlife area.
Yep.
You know, a lot of the Cowboys players will end up over there in the off season. good place to maybe spot some pro athletes that are around town. That's kind of our top spot there. But there's a lot of great just places, restaurants and stuff to go and enjoy, you know, sit on the patio and drink a cold beer. You know, I think Aditi's downtown is a great spot for that as well.
Love that. Okay. I'm always getting tacos whenever I'm on the road at any destination. So what's your taco pick here in Frisco?
Ooh, we have to look for some guidance here. Crush taco.
Ooh, okay. I saw this was on my list. All right.
Mi Casina has great tacos. That is Jerry Jones's like favorite Mexican food restaurant. So he put one in the star, so it's accessible.
I'm sure he did. Yeah,
You know that's what you do when you play at that level. But we have Rockin' Taco, right? I mean, there's some great taco spots around town. It's probably one of the things I get around to the least, but definitely you know, I know Austin. Huge on tacos, but
we are. Tacos and barbecue are my two staples in Austin. So whenever I'm visiting a Texas city, I like trying to get both those.
Sure. Now, barbecue wise, you know, I would put R. Hutchins barbecue up against just about anywhere. It's one of my favorite places. I smoke a lot of barbecue personally, but for my money, the beef rib and then the Texas Twinkie that's at Hutchins is hard to beat.
Oh, I like that. Texas Twinkie. Sounds good. Austin FC versus FC Dallas fan base. Always a little bit of a sparring point.
Sure.
So I got to rep the Verde right now from my home city of Austin. But tell me what you think that rivalry is going to look like for the rest of the year. It's always pretty fiery between the fan bases as to who can be a little bit louder as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I have to say, like, I've been down to the stadium there in Austin and, just an amazing venue.
It's beautiful.
It's so beautiful great. Property. You know, obviously the Yeti sponsorship, you know, there's Double Dave's in the suites, which I'm a big fan of Double Dave's pizza
good call,
rolls.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that stadium is built, you know, perfectly for that fan base. You know, it's definitely a rivalry and I'm glad that that Austin is in existence because I think it matches up well with us. We're old, we're original type team. You guys are new and flashy, but, you know, again, I think we'll just have battles for years to come. It's good for the sport, for sure.
It is, definitely. It's fun to play out that Austin-Dallas rivalry a little bit more through a new sports venture in Austin as well, too. So sure. I'm enjoying watching that. We always wrap with our 19th hole question, Josh. Okay. So it's very simple and open-ended. You get done with a round of golf or a day watching golf for your favorite tournament here in Frisco, and you get into like a great clubhouse. What's your go-to order, your favorite meal and drink you like to get at the 19th hole?
A nice burger, a really good burger at the end of a round is kind of what I would go for meal wise. I mean, barbecue is always up there, but I'd probably go burger. And then my drink of choice. I mean, I drink a lot of bourbon. I love bourbon. I collect bourbon. I have about 60 bottles right now.
Wow. Okay.
But I will say on a golf course, my favorite thing is a Chilton at the end of a day. So
explain that.
So Chilton was invented in Lubbock. It's where I grew up out in West Texas. Okay. It is vodka and, it's usually Tito's. So, you know, Austin plug there. Tito's vodka, some lemon juice, and then some soda in there with a salted rim. So it's a refreshing lemony drink, but it's really, at the end of the day on a golf course, that's what I want to drink.
Highly approve. I hadn't got that drink suggestion yet. You're the first one to bring the Chilton to the podcast.
I'm glad to wrap the Chilton from West Texas.
From West Texas to Frisco here. It's Josh Dill joining us on The Course of Life.
Great chat there with Josh. Big thanks to him and the entire Visit Frisco team. Excited to see them preparing for the World Cup coming to the DFW area as well.
Yeah.
Are they gonna get us in? Are we gonna go?
I know, right? Seriously. Looking for the hookup. Hello, World Cup tickets. I am in. Yeah. I'll definitely be making the trick up from Austin in some capacity to catch at least a game if I can. That's bucket list sporting event material for sure. And I know as Frisco being a big time soccer city, in addition to Sports City USA, they're super pumped about it. Awesome to see that. Really cool to check out the star and see the home of your beloved Cowboys, Mike, your division rival. I get to see where they sign all their papers and write all their checks from the Jones family.
Beloved is a incorrect word to describe my immense hatred for the Cowboys.
The rivalry lives on. We'll check in with some more NFL later. But yeah, great stuff from Josh with the Visit Frisco team. A whole lot more coming in terms of content from this trip in the coming weeks as well.
All right, let's turn our attention to what was happening in the world of professional golf, the guys and gals who play the game every week in and out. Rory McIlroy Got to play the Zurich Classic for the first time ever, thanks to a little drunken celebration. Him and his buddy Lowry actually won. They won. McIlroy won an event.
Yeah, this is like that, you know, the dumb thing that us golfers do is, you know, we have a few too many drinks or we stay up too late at night and then we book the 8 a.m. tee time thinking, you know, yeah, this is a great idea when we were, you know, hanging out all night and having a party. And, you know, that 8 a.m. tee time's harder to hit. Apparently, Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry kind of formed this partnership for the Zurich after a few too many beers celebrating their Ryder Cup win last fall. But lo and behold, they got their act together when it was go time and they brought their A game. Winning in their inaugural appearance. Pretty impressive stuff. And they did it in the playoff as well, too.
Yeah. Beating the team of Ramey and Trainer. So Rory McIlroy, chances of him being able to use this win as a catapult to win another major.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't he love that? I mean, it's that, that's the question one. And the question two is like, is Rory Shane Lowry? Is that just a locked in Ryder Cup partnership for a few more years to come? I know those guys are definitely on the back 50% at this point of their careers, but they're brothers for sure. And they had a lot of fun winning out there. So we'll definitely be seeing them pairing up in years to come.
The LPGA was in Los Angeles for the JM Eagle LA Championship, and back-to-back winner at the JM Eagle is Hannah Green.
Nice.
Not having to do it in extra holes like she did last year, but doing it by winning by three strokes, I think it was this year. Hannah Green, now two-time winner this year. She won earlier this year as well. And her fifth LPGA Tour victory.
Yeah, you got to fit the W's in when Nelly Korda's off, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
it's time for everyone to make some money when she's not playing, because first place prize check is basically taken away when she shows up these days. So shout out Hannah Green for getting that second win in LA, and shows how consistent she's been over the last 6 to 12 months. She's showing her face in the regular in the winter circle with much more regularity. So great to see her win in Southern California.
Liv Adelaide was in action this weekend. They returned to Australia, where Cam Smith and his hometown Rippers took the W in Liv's first ever team playoff event.
Yeah, the Rippers, huh? They took it in Australia?
Yeah, don't do that.
That was probably about a C-minus Australian accent right there.
No, that was an F.
big win for our mullet friend, Cam Smith. You know, we wanted this one, right? The hometown event and the home country, dude, in front of the home fans. And they had a pretty lit, you had hinted at this over the weekend. They had a pretty lit, like, kind of waste management style par three watering hole there, didn't they?
The watering hole is a good way to put it. The 13th hole at Adelaide, which is now their party hole, quote unquote party hole.
Yep.
Lucas Herbert's caddy was hit in the head.
Yes.
In the back of the head by a water bottle that was thrown at him as he was putting the stick back in the cup after Herbert made a birdie. It's just like, has anything like this ever happened to the 16th of the Waste Management? Have we ever seen this happen
in
Phoenix?
I'm trying to think we've seen the direct contact like that, because that one was full and it was direct contact. Yeah. Usually it's like an empty Coors Light can, which doesn't pack as much of a punch, you know, when it floats in and hits you. But this one had some weight to it. So yeah, the live party hole got a little wild. A little crazy. And I guess the line is when you actually leave the liquid in the bottle and throw it. For Christ's sakes, people, it's the party hole. You have to empty the drink fully before you throw the can. God, have a little class one time, you know?
I mean, it would happen at Live Golf, wouldn't it?
regardless, yeah, good stuff and good to see. Cam Smith, the Aussie, you know, he's been playing well in Live format events, but he is one of those more notable Live players that has not taken that game back to the majors and the mainstream events where everyone's gathering so far in the last 6 months. So we'll see if that changes here at the PGA.
All right, let's do a little tuned in, because you're in Frisco. You're enjoying your best life. I, as I said at the top, just got back from Atlanta, where I got a little weekend away. It's the Atlanta Film Festival right now through the next week. My wife's short film, 7 Acres and a Church, showed there on Sunday. Fantastic film about a family's matriarch fighting for her church here in Savannah, Georgia, for First Bryan Baptist Church, which is the oldest Black church in America, the oldest Black Sunday school in America. Just an incredible short story. They're working on a feature film version of it as well.
Thoughts, feedback from the audience that watched last bit?
The audience seemed to really enjoy it. And the matriarch, Georgia Benton, was actually came up from Savannah to be there at the screening and went up on stage after during Q&A. And she really commands the room. She's, you know, incredibly passionate about defending her church and her heritage as the city threatens to kind of tear down the surrounding area and maybe threaten the church as well as they do that. So really, really powerful to hear her speak in that crowd. And the crowd just responds to her. She's just one of those women that you just listen to and you just agree with. She's just that kind of woman. Saw a couple other films there as well. We didn't see quite as many as we thought we were going to while I was there. Another feature doc, and then saw some other shorts that were programmed with 7 Acres and a Church as well, including one that I do want to talk about called Happy Thanksgiving, which was a short narrative film about a Native American who ends up going on a bank robbery after being wished Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow. Hey, it just set him off. It just set him off. That was the last straw for him.
That was the last straw. It was very, very good. It was probably one of the best films in the block, next to, of course, 7 Acres and a Church, which I may be biased, but I think was the best film in the block. While in Atlanta, too, I got to check out Puttshack. Have you heard of Puttshack?
Yeah, so I heard of it by name, but I haven't been to one. There's all sorts of these lovely, and I love them all in their own unique way, these lovely mini golf putt-putt adjacent concepts. But this one had a very fascinating like technological twist from what I saw on your reel on Instagram.
So your newfangled mini golf and restaurant bar concept. Each ball has a microchip or an RFID chip or something in it, and it must also have a motion chip in it, because you put the ball on a little spot when you start the hole. It knows who you are. It knows how many times you hit the ball. There's different places that you can hit it throughout each hole that give you different results. It's not really stroke-based. They give you points based on every hole, how many strokes it takes you, and if you hit some of these bonus places as well, and you win at the end based on points.
It's a very Top Golf like experience, but in mini golf form. I like that.
Exactly. Yeah, it was a load of fun. It wasn't too much money. It was like $14 for 9 holes, which
that's good.
It's not that bad for a downtown city environment entertainment like that. Something we would definitely go check out again for sure.
Very cool.
We'll talk about Pont City Market during Always In With Food. Really cool shopping and food haul. We'll talk about the food and the food of Pont City Market.
Great culture there. I love that. A little golf content, a little film festival, a little market food culture. We're going to get to more of that. I love that. Shout out ATL.
Something for everyone else to tune into this week would be our YouTube channel as well, like we like to mention all the time. There's a couple slot machine adventures going on for you in Las Vegas still. That stuff up there on our YouTube page. And like we said at the beginning as well, stuff from your visit to PGA headquarters and Frisco will be going up there probably for the next couple weeks as well.
For sure. And I mean, God, if I keep hitting these putts on this green for the next 3 days, Mike, Lord knows how many crazy putt videos are going to be coming to our social media soon. It could be an endless supply.
That's what we're looking for.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, the more we can get in the bank now, the less work we have to do later.
There it is. He's getting it now.
All right, let's turn our attention to where the PGA Tour is headed this next week. It's the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson, at TPC Craig Ranch, just up the road from where you are in Texas. Not a loaded field.
No, not by any stretch of the imagination. And this one really flew over my head big time. I'm so locked in on Omni Frisco PGA here, staying at the Westin, enjoying the PGA Professional National Championship. I finally came up for air on Monday and realized the PGA Tour is 8 miles away from me right now. Yeah. I wasn't even thinking about that at all these last few weeks in preparation for this trip. But alas, they are back at TPC Craig Ranch McKinney there. This is the event that I like to now call the K.H. Lee Invitational. I think he's won it two of the last 3 years now. I forget who won last year, but he's definitely one of the favorites for sure. He absolutely loves this course. So I'd definitely be watching out for him. He'll sure be on a lot of people's boards. But yeah, you're right. Not the most loaded field. We're in a little bit of that lull where we have big tournaments and a major coming up in a couple weeks. Guys are looking to lay low for a few days.
Yeah, Jason Day won this event last year, his first win in 5 years. Nice. And this is also the last event before the next signature event, the Wells Fargo. So a chance for guys to qualify to play in that signature event that have not already.
Indeed. Yeah. So a lot of action here in the DFW area with not only the PGA event here, but the PGA Tour event in the form of the CJ Cup. Should be a lot of action on the Golf Channel this weekend.
Make sure you listen to the podcast every week so you get the update on what we think was worth talking about in the world of golf, plus everything else. Hit that subscribe button on the podcast app you're using right now so that you never miss an episode. They come out every week. Follow us on Instagram, COL Podcast. Alex is at Course of Life Alex. I'm at MWRINC. You can check all of our content on there. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the NFL draft. We'll see if Alex cares for his Patriots at all anymore. We'll talk about the 6-month-long playoff runs going on in the world of basketball and hockey, and we will, of course, always end with food. We'll be back in a little bit. Course of Life podcast is brought to you by Zencastr. We've been using Zencastr here since almost the very beginning as how Alex and I record this podcast from hundreds of miles away. And it provides us with great quality audio that works every time. And it's something that makes Course of Life what it is and has kept us being able to make consistent episodes every week. And now it's super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. You log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. You record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. You feel a sense of zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. And have you ever wondered what you actually sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording. It removes those awkward pauses in conversation too. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with the click of a button. Head on over to zencastr.com/pricing and use our promo code COURSEOFLIFE to get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. We want you to have the same easy experience as we do for all of your podcasting and content needs. Again, that's zencastr.com/pricing and our promo code COURSEOFLIFE. Zencastr, it's time to share your story. All right, we're back. Let's hit the back nine, Alex. And let's start with the 6-month-long playoff runs in the NBA and the NHL. Yes. They go on forever. They're twice as long as the actual season is.
Your favorite narrative.
Let's start in the NBA. We are bandwagon fans for both of these things right now, at least I am. The Celtics, we're recording on a Monday. We don't know what's going to happen in game 4 here, but the Celtics really, we still think they're going to win this series, right?
Yeah, I know. They're still one of the dominant, if not the dominant team in the Eastern Conference. They're doing that thing that we've all kind of suspected they are, which is just kind of dragging their feet through the postseason. When they look good, they're great, but they can look mediocre and take their foot off the gas. They got to figure out something about that in the next month or so once they get to some more realistic opponents that could actually take them 6 or 7 games. But it does look like they will advance to round 2.
What do we think of the Timberwolves sweeping their series and being the first team to be able to really advance to their conference semis?
Yeah, I mean, shout out them. And also, like, that was kind of a wow moment for the career of Kevin Durant. You know, like, I think that was like, oh, wow. So KD, like, can't really do it like that anymore. So that's definitely something to note as far as his career arc as well. But yeah, Anthony Edwards, the guy a lot of just casual sports fans need to get that name hooked in for NBA purposes. he is becoming the next star there in Minnesota. So that's exciting to see. And I hope to see them make a big run in the Western Conference.
The one other team I want your opinion on, they're also playing this Monday evening. So before we record, the Lakers were able to salvage their season in game four for one more game. LeBron James over under one more game.
Nope. Not in the scene. Right. Yeah, they're out of gas. They had enough to get one in them, though, for sure. But yeah, it's just, again, we're watching that changing in the guard, Mike, and you and I are just like so, you know, era, you know, realistic and think in eras and the way sports moves things. And to see that the Kevin Durant, LeBron James era is, you know, falling by the wayside shows you how far the NBA has advanced in the last 5 to 10 years.
Over on the icy side of things in the NHL, the Rangers are the first team to advance out of their series, sweeping the Capitals. Are they a shoo-in to win the Stanley Cup?
Oh, man. A little hockey fever in NYC. Yeah. I mean, between the Knicks playoff run and the Rangers playoff run, I will say a buzzy Madison Square Garden in this never-ending playoff season in basketball and hockey terms, that at least makes it a little bit more compelling for everyone. Even I'll admit that as a Boston sports fan. If you have a buzzy MSG and you get the Knicks and Rangers floating through their playoffs, it's always exciting to see for sports fans.
All right, let's talk the NFL draft. You told me last week that I should text you and just text you, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If the Patriots drafted a certain player.
Yeah, Drake May. I said there was just one player that I was not interested in drafting, and that was Drake May. I'd been saying it for months. I'd been saying it since last fall, and I didn't like him at UNC. And what did they go do? They went and drafted Drake May right in my face.
Yeah. So the Patriots drafted who you didn't like. They drafted a whole lot of offensive pieces because they have no team whatsoever to speak of. Yep. I think they are entering a new era, as we know. No Bill Belichick at the helm, so they can do kind of whatever they want. What do you think about this Patriots team, boom or bust, over the next 5 years?
Yeah, Bill Belichick is punching air watching this new Patriots management draft the way they did. There wasn't a defensive pick till I think day three. All offense, with the exception of a cornerback or two and some linebackers. It was very offensive centric. I enjoy that they're putting a lot of weapons around a young quarterback like Drake May, or if it's Jacoby Brissett leading the way for a little mentorship period before May starts. I appreciate that they're getting as many weapons as they can. They're trying to weaponize the offense because there were exactly zero weapons at all, with the exception of Pop Douglas here and there. So I appreciate the effort is my verdict on the Patriots draft. I don't like what they did with pick number three, but I appreciate the effort they did with every other pick to accompany what they did at pick number three with Drake May.
Tell you what, I'll trade you Daniel Jones for Drake May.
Oh, straight up, you would. Yeah, wow, that's very generous of you. Wait, and a club sandwich too? Would you throw that in as well?
Yeah. I'll give you two club sandwiches.
You didn't even have to sweeten the deal, and you did. That was so nice of you.
I'm just a generous guy. The Giants are all in on Daniel Jones for at least one more year.
Yeah, you got no quarterback there. You got Malik Nabers, who's a great receiver, but you did not get a quarterback, and you still have Daniel Jones, it appears. So,
well, you know, we're paying him so much freaking money. I don't know what to say.
It's that fancy toy when you're a kid that your mom's mad. It's like, why did you pay so much for this video game? I barely see you even play it. You know, you get this thing out.
It was dead on arrival.
It was. Yeah, it had scratches from the get-go. I tried to blow in the cartridge and it didn't work. What can I tell you, Mom? So, we'll see what the future leads for the Giants. Malik Nabers, again, full of highlights at wide receiver, but can he get the ball from the quarterback will be the question.
So my question before we move on from the NFL draft is, since we only like to talk about the Patriots and Giants because those are our teams, which team has a better chance of making the playoffs in the next season, the Patriots or the Giants?
Interesting.
I think I know the answer.
I actually think it's the Giants. With a healthy Daniel Jones and a defense that performs well, I think there is a lot of room for improvement for the Patriots, but I think the room between the playoffs and where they are currently is shorter for the Giants. So that's why I'd pick New York.
I'm actually going to pick the Jets.
Touche. With a healthy Aaron Rodgers, if he can last more than 5 minutes of an NFL season.
Even without a healthy Aaron Rodgers. All right, let's hashtag always end with food.
Yep, food segment to wrap every course of life. It's our 19th hole content coming your way. I'm in Frisco, like I mentioned. So getting up here to the DFW area, something that has not made it yet to Austin, which is big in my wife's part of the woods in Illinois, is Portillo's Italian beefs. I got my first Italian beef in about 8 months. So that was the first thing I checked off.
Did you send her pictures of you eating it to make her feel jealous?
Yep. One eating and just one on the table as well, too. Onion rings, cheese sauce, the whole nine yards. It was fantastic. Au jus dripping everywhere. Wet hands after, for sure.
Food porn for days.
Yep, that's for sure. And then I'm going to hold out a little secret on everyone. There's an amazing taco shop I had here in Frisco. Thanks to our friends at Visit Frisco for setting it up and showing me the real local taco shop. But you're going to have to subscribe to our YouTube channel. I'm going to put that video out in the next couple of weeks of my visit here, and you'll see some of the best tacos I've had in a long time. I will say high standards, but they do stack up to the authentic Mexican taco shops in Austin. So that is saying something from me. So great times here eating in Frisco.
Yeah, I had some of the best tacos, real Mexican style tacos I've had in a long time in Atlanta. We went one night with the friends we were staying with to just some random place, and I got birria tacos that were fantastic.
Yes, birria.
Well worth every calorie so cool. in it. And there was a lot, but a lot of eating in Atlanta. We went to my wife and I went to Pont City Market, which is a giant food hall and shopping area made out of an old Sears building, an old Sears distribution center on the roof, which we did not go to. They have a bar, they have a restaurant up there. They have a mini golf course and some other games and stuff up there. But it's $15 just to walk out of the elevator and $30 if you also want to play the games.
Oh, a cover. So, wow. Yeah.
So we didn't see do that. A while. We didn't want to do that. That was a little bit too much for us. But I did get some fried chicken when I was there from Hops, which was quite good. And then we actually went back there again on Sunday night, and we went to they have a Chinese place there called Shezwan that I got some double cooked pork. So it was pork belly that was probably cooked whole and sliced, and then it was cooked in a black bean sauce. That was fantastic.
Yes.
A lot of different food stalls there as well, including Five Daughters Donuts. I don't know if you've heard of them, Alex. They're known for their 100-layer donuts. They're in Atlanta. I think they're out of Nashville originally. We got a couple to try from them. Very, very good. Do I think the donuts I make at bakery that I work Auspicious is better? Yes.
Of course.
But these were still very, very good. We got the original glaze. We got a peanut butter chocolate one. They had a lemon blueberry, which was probably the best one. Really good. Good lemon kick to it. And a cinnamon bun one, which was also very good.
The 100-layer donut's amazing.
100-layer donut. And then on Sunday morning, we trekked all the way to the other side of Atlanta. We were in Marietta, which is in the Northwest. And we went all the way to the southeast to go to Evergreen Baker and Butcher.
Wow. Quite the effort. Nice job.
Yeah. Highly recommended bakery coming from my coworkers at Auspicious to go to in Atlanta. Very good. I got a loaf of bread, which is also very good. Good sourdough. We got a chocolate croissant that was quite good. A kind of coffee pistachio pinwheel, which was very, very good. And we also got a chocolate Queen Amon, which was spectacular. Probably the best thing that I had there. Again, do I think my bakery Auspicious is better? Yes.
Oh,
I may be biased.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm sorry, Evergreen. I think you guys are great. I think if you're in Atlanta, you should definitely go to Evergreen. But then you should get in your car and drive the 4 hours and come to Auspicious.
Yeah, there's the bakery hits right there. Evergreen, Five Daughters. Nice little combo there for anyone who is in Atlanta, Georgia. Love that. Awesome. Good trip indeed in the books for the both of us. We're traveling and we're moving and shaking here on the course of life. And there's a whole lot more to come next week. More from the Visit Frisco trip. We're talking golf, highlighting the golf at the Westin Stonebriar. And we'll have a special guest from the club as well. Thank you for tuning in this week. Be sure to like and subscribe right now. And we'll see you next week.